Asbury.
Pete, has Thomas called you since he was here?
No.
Did you read that email?
He's coming in today. Yeah, he's coming to work today.
We've made arrangements to, an Australian is going to pay him.
All right.
So.
Well, we better catch him quick. He's being offered another job.
He told me a couple days ago that he had a possible job on Monday.
Well.
He was snaggy as butt when he walked in the door this morning.
Just about every form of, in every culture, there's been some religion or some basis of belief that promised immortality. Whether it's the Muslims or even in the so-called non-religions like Hindu, the yoga and stuff, it's a union with the greater power or whatever it is. But there's a problem. Jesus said this one incredible thing. He said, only he which proceeds from the Father can return to the Father. That's a pretty big deal. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if anybody wants to check it out later, he said, well, let's read it. Go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11. We have to wait for Sue.
Chapter 6.
Never mind, I can't even read it.
Chapter 6.
Yeah. But thou, O man of God, flee those things. The things that you're to flee are the love of money and the love of gain. Well, let's just go up there a little bit farther. You can read it later. But thou, man, flee these things. The idea that some kind of a gain is godliness. Whatever is a gain to you, something gaining to you. But thou, man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. And before Christ Jesus. Before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing or the parousa or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen nor can ever see, to whom be honor and power and glory, and honor and power everlasting. Amen. He alone hath immortality. He alone hath eternal life. Only he that proceeded from the Father can return to the Father. This ought to give somebody some pause. This is hinted at back in Genesis, just like everything else is. Go to Genesis 1. What?
Well,
You're doing it again. The wheels are turning. The grease is burning.
I was over at Brian's last night, and there was this book about religions, and I gave this thought about, gosh, there's a whole lot of religions, but none of them mean anything if it isn't based on what we just read. That it's all faith, all everything is in the person of Jesus Christ. And all these abstract doctrines and that just are inventions of man. It's not complicated.
Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You've heard me teach 100 times that the word image is the Hebrew word tselem. And it could mean a shadow or... But to me, the best meaning of it is a glove. And the glove is an image of a hand. But it's not the hand. You've seen that cartoon that we ran, I think. It used to be up there, yeah. Sometimes I wonder if the hand really exists. The glove is talking to another glove. The hand really doesn't care whether the glove believes in it or not. We were created in the image of God, but not in the likeness. The and likeness is probably the two most important words in the Bible. We had the potential to transform the image into likeness by obedience, to transform the innocence of the state before judging for yourself good and evil in Adam and Eve. We had the potential to transform that innocence, that image, into holiness by antagonism. But it didn't come to pass. Man fell way down, as far down as he could go. And so the potential to transform that image into likeness was genetically, cosmically lost. Now in Pentecost, the image of God tabernacles in men. But as long as man continues to act after his senses, what he sees, what he thinks, what he feels, as a brute beast, then that transformation process is impossible.
Taking that potential then was the same potential now, but it manifests itself through surrender, not through effort.
Well, it's the true meaning of surrender is total and complete emptiness. Let's go to 2 Peter. This is why you can't wait for your Pentecost. You can't wait for a Pentecost experience. It's a celebration of a mystery that has been hid from all generations, from the very beginning. Can you maybe see a little bit now why this mystery of Christ is so complete? And it only is manifest in your abandonment? And you cannot abandon until you come to the end? It isn't an accident that he said he came to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor doesn't mean just you don't have any money. The poor means you've exhausted all of the possibilities for success or achievement or realization Can you maybe see now why I teach that every idea and every invention for the last 2,000 years has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ, attempt to flee that moment of 100% dependence on the Father?
That's what the fall is all about. It's about I can act independent of God.
Amen. Now, is that complicated? Oh, but your mind just, you can't turn your mind off. Well, that's crap. Oh, how do you turn your mind off? Well, you see, I'll just be crude for a change. What's that? You don't want to hear me be crude? Every man, every day, if he's had enough fiber, defecates. Now, I doubt ever in the history of man that anybody had any, it took, was any problem for him to walk away from it. But the problem is, you don't know that your mind is that dumb. And so you keep nurturing it and forming it and trying to play with it, and it's just it's a stench. When you have sweet ideas, you knew I was going there, didn't you? If you have sweet ideas, you better go find out they're not so sweet. If you have little ambitions and goals and things you want to accomplish in your life, and then you better go do it. And pray that God delays his revelation, his final revelation. Where Christ says, now will I arise. We are of a different order, a different genus, a different species, a different class. Against whatever other word that man has invented, we have nothing to do with the human race except in the economy and wisdom of God, we are to meet the needs of the hungry, the poor, the naked. Because why? Why would that happen? So that mystery in you would be tested. You never need anything, so you never have to try to do anything. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter whether everybody in the world hates you. It doesn't matter. Because you're connected to eternity. You're connected to the first source. And that place of connection is called the oracle of God. It's under the wings of the cherubim. It's on the mercy seat. It's in the Holy of Holies, which descended out of heaven on Pentecost. Now, the temple, the New Jerusalem, is now our only reality. In all of time, passes through that eternity. Every second of every day that has ever been is passing through that temple. That which came from God stays in the temple. That which was just used for the test flows out. It goes in the west gate, goes out the east gate, and goes into the valley of Hinnom, Gehenna. It goes to the dump. It doesn't matter whether it's your flesh or the worst sinner that you can imagine or every Nobel Prize winner and every piece of gold and every diamond and everything that you hold dear. It's passing from the west gate, going through the temple, and then goes out the east gate. into the valley of Hinnom, Gehenna, hell, the dump. And as long as time lasts, hell lasts. But when the angel stands, the seventh angel stands and says, the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more, then all of things, including hell, are gone. It's as though they never existed, and you will have no memory of it. Now, if you can figure out a way to tell me how, if he alone has immortality, and immortality means, that doesn't mean you're going to live forever, it means you live in eternity. Again, the paucity of the English language. We read, and God said, let there be light. In Hebrew, it says, God is saying, let there be light. So that you experience every aspect as you read the Torah. That's why the Torah, the first five books, are the only thing that Jesus or the disciples or anybody else call Scripture. Because they revealed this mystery, this timelessness. And the fact that the timelessness entered time, it entered in a person in Christ and now entered in the New Jerusalem on Pentecost. That's why we count the days of the Omer, because the things that are bad, that you think are bad, are the ones that can keep you out. I mean, that's what was dealt with on the cross. But the things that you think are good are what's the counting of the Omer from Passover to Pentecost. Because the things that you think are good are the same. They can keep you in the locked in time, just like the things that are bad. Because you ate both of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You think you just ate of the tree of evil. This isn't complicated. It isn't. You don't have to have a PhD to understand it. You just simply have to have come to the end of yourself. It's not dependent on circumstances or time or anything else. It's dependent on integrity. No, don't close it. Oh, just move over there. And the integrity is, if you're not going to, I see the end of this, I'm not going to do that anymore. Anybody have any response? It's so simple.
Just thinking, I identify with the chaff because I can.
That's why the first synagogues were always on top of a high hill with no protection. They could have no walls because the wind blew the chaff away. That's why... Solomon, the preacher, the wisest man that has ever lived, said, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, all is futile, and vexation of spirit. If you translate vexation of spirit, it means you've spent your entire life chasing wind. No, God, I've got to go over there, now I've got to go over here, now I've got to go over there. But with him in Christ, his reward is with him. You can't separate it. That's what prosperity means. Your journey is complete. You can't be bothered by any little thing that exists in time and space because you've been tested fully in all ways. And you hate it. It makes Can't you see the stupidity of all your little value systems and how time-dependent all the things that you believe are? And how all the things that you think are important can't stand that test of eternity, can't stand the test of time? And besides that, only he which proceeded from the Father can return to the Father. Is there anything complicated about this?
I'm thinking everything serves this mystery. It's very simple, it's very concise, it's very plain.
Except your mind.
It is the bullseye.
Except your mind. Your mind is the only enemy left on the face of the earth. Because it's the instead of Christ. This comes against every form of thought, every religion, every form of psychobabble and everything else. Nothing can stand. Because in the place that you stand or sit, can never be moved. Doesn't matter whether everything is shaken and every little thing that you thought was important gets blown away. Those are meaningless. And you must know this by now. My God, you've spent a lifetime finding out what it isn't. It's time now to celebrate what it is. It has nothing to do with whether or not your daddy beat you or not, or whether or not your mommy didn't love you, or whether or not blah, 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 blah. If this doesn't shut up your mind, I don't know what will. If you don't want your mind to be shut up, don't go read all the books and go read all the fiction and listen to all the songs and have really good discussions about all that bullshit. Really get into it and give it importance because it makes you feel good. You get sustenance and satisfaction from it. Yeah, you're eating vomit. What?
Oh, it's like mankind. It's this giant Star Trek convention. Everybody dresses.
Oh, it's a Trekkie. A bunch of whole damn Trekkies.
Puts their ears on and discusses the meaning of the tribbles. It's just unbelievable. It's just a big Star Trek convention.
It's just goofy. Wow, it's just goofy. Well, talk about that. Think about your conversation the other day where I made fun of you about it. Oh, that's just wonderful. That gives you sustenance and satisfaction. Why do you like it? You like it because it somehow satisfies you and gives you satisfaction in reading and imagining about it.
And there's something wrong with that?
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Because what you get satisfaction from and what you gives you sustenance is what you eat.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not using it for sustenance. It's a damn candy bar.
I don't care if you do it or not. Just don't bore me with it.
What's wrong with having fun, though? I mean, you got to do something like for some form of recreation.
If you separate your life from recreation, then you haven't heard.
Yeah, now I understand.
We'll see whether you do or not.
I'm glad one of us
does. The idea, I'm going to go on vacation, or I'm waiting for the weekend, or that's just, you haven't redeemed the time. You're just sucking on some crap that is locked in time and space.
You got to do something with yourself, every minute of your day, like.
How about be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Present your body the living sacrifice instead of having this illegal crap going on in the temple of God. What you're doing, everything, all of that is a religious service. And you're eating something other than the flesh of the Son. He is the manna from heaven. The manna satisfies every possible heart's desire. It meets every possible thing there is. Unless there's guilt or idolatry. And then the manna is bitter. So you have to go eat something else. What?
Go to another chaff convention.
No, you go eat at another table. What do you think Paul was talking about when he was talking about which table you eat at? Why do you think the sacrament of communion is so mind-blowingly important? Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And I don't give a crap. I don't care whether you... the other stuff doesn't matter. What it matters is to you, for you to see what it is. I don't care what you do. I was a child. I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I became an adult. I put away, I divorced and childish things. And everything from God's perspective in time and space is a childish thing. Because it can't compare with eternity. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you haven't tasted that the Lord is good. You're still running around trying a bunch of different stuff off the banquet table, seeing if which one is... And spending your life at one form of Trekkie convention or another. Oh, I just love video games. There was, for most of the time that I've known Gary, if there was one of those little machine games, or I'm sure now video game, he could, if there was a game, he had to play it. I tried to do that once, and it's just...
Tried to do that
once. Let's go to 1 Peter. Did I say that? Or 2
Peter?
2 Peter.
So which is it?
2 Peter, I think. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. Word that's used several times in the scriptures. You can go find it yourself, but it's called being a partaker of the heavenly kingdom. And the partaker means it's just like you partake of anything else. You partake of something that, you know, again, you've spent your whole life figuring out what you're going to be a partaker of. And we rank all of those things as we partake of them. And some things we naturally like and we're partakers of them, and some things we aren't any good at, so we stop partaking of it. And then we go on and we keep partaking. Another word for partaking is eating. And that's all we've done our whole life. We find out something that gives us sustenance and satisfaction, enjoyment or amusement. So we go partake and partake and partake and partake. But the scriptures say that his people are partakers of the heavenly, are partakers of a mystery in which once you have partaken of it, all other seems like, and I mean, it just, don't worry about what you partake of. I mean, I'll make fun of you all the time, but don't worry about it. The partaking is, it means what you gain sustenance and satisfaction from. And I promise you, no matter what it is, even Gary and his video games, you'll soon stop being a partaker, but because it will, just like everything else in your life, it will lose its allure. Then we'll have to invent more wild video games. And so then, did you know that there was a channel that used to show all movies on our system called AMC or something like that? And now it's a whole television channel devoted to video games. Did you know that?
Wow. Yeah.
That's all it is.
24/7.
And it's interesting because I watched it just for kicks the other day, and they were at the convention of whatever video game stuff is, where all of the manufacturers come and they bring out their new video games. And every one of the video games had to become more lifelike in order, and then the ones that were the old kind, like the only ones that I ever remember are those Pac-Man thingies that ate stuff. But now they've got people, you know, they look almost like people, and they move almost like people. And so, because it every time, you soon get, and they make fun of anybody's game that it isn't at this new generation. Well, can you see that as a metaphor? You'll spend your entire life trying to have a better video game. Well, my point to you is, why play life as a game? Why not just be? You spend your entire life trying to be, trying to understand, trying to get, trying to gain something, trying to be a friend, trying to do this, trying to do that. Well, it's just a video game anyway. Why not just do it in reality? Harry once told me that he liked to watch movies, but I am the movie. And it's only because I'm not trying to do anything special. I'm just being.
I didn't say it was a good movie.
I know you didn't. I've said it's a B movie. Bad. Really bad. But the point of it is, why watch? Why not be? Why spend any time thinking about being? Why not just be, no matter what it costs you? But I used to teach about, Harry's got a tape about it's called Satan's Half Second. That was the name of the series, wasn't it, or something like that? And it's how, the way our mind works, there's always this moment or half second or some period of time where we get a stimulation, and then it's before we act on it or before anything, because it has to process. Well, That is like the difference between soul and spirit. What?
I was thinking mine's about to say this minute and a half.
But that's all Christ was when you look at it. And that's what you have the capacity to be. That's what it's as long as you're satisfied with trying to be, and as long as that didn't come boring to you, then you'll continue it. But there's got to be a place, it seems to me, and this is from my own experience, where the idea of trying to be has to become foreign. Where you, and the only way that can happen is when you don't owe this beast anything. You don't owe it any, you don't owe your thoughts anything, you don't owe your feelings anything, you don't owe this thing anything. And I think the fact that you believe you're in debt to this, your brain or your mind, that's what causes the difference between soul and spirit. Because you still have, you have a debt to what you feel. Or you have a debt to try to be. And all I'm saying is, and that's fine, but be it fully. Be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. And the way you find out whether you're hot or cold and not lukewarm is by just prophesying. Being. Boom, boom, boom.
I was thinking your debt is to your definition of good and evil, that you plant it in there and then everything filters through and you're safe to respond.
Well, I mean, but it your mind doesn't do that. Your mind does. How can I use this? Or will this benefit me? Or will I get in trouble? Or
you judge good and evil.
Huh?
You judge good and evil.
I know, but you don't. Your mind doesn't say good and evil. Your mind, it's
your pleasure, pain.
Your mind says something.
Any kind of duality that you recognize it in your mind.
Eve thought about, you know, she had eaten any fruit in the garden. And her mind said, but not that one.
But remember the deception it was, she can't even touch it.
Yeah, she told herself she couldn't touch
it. Yeah.
But then she saw that it was good, pleasing. Had a thought that she thought was an original thought, independent of God.
All I want you to take away from this is that he alone has immortality. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not Christ in you helping you out. He'll never... we hear over and over, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But our mind hears that as he's going to show me the truth, he's going to teach me the way, and he's going to give me life. That's part of that Satan half-second business. Anybody else?
See, the dumbest video game is solitaire. I can't believe anybody would ever.
I play solitaire when I'm hurting.
Remember that time that they went dumb?
What? I also do another dumb one. I do crossword puzzles. All right, take a big guy.